I'm Matt Lehman, and you're listening to Django Riffs. We talk about Django, the Python web framework that will help you build your next web app. Let's get to the topic for this episode. Episode 9, Application Examination. Hi, welcome back to Django Riffs. On this episode, we're going to study the structure of a Django application. We're going to talk about what an application is, how it's a core component of a Django project, and all of the elements that go in it. On the last episode, we focused on the Django admin site. We talked about what that part of the system was, how you could configure it, how you could use it to your needs, how you could customize it, and all of that stuff. And in doing that, we saw a little bit about Django apps and how you have to include them as part of your system if you want to actually use them. But we didn't really go into the details of what an application is. So what I'd like to do is start with, what is an application? And I think before we can really realistically do that, we have to start with what a Django application is not. Because I think the terminology is a little bit confusing considering the web ecosystem and the web world that we live in. In Django terminology, a web application is a Django project. And within that project are different components. And these components are actually given the name application. And in other words, a Django project is built from one or more Django applications. And this is a little confusing because when you hear web application, you think website, you think the whole thing. So to hear the Django ecosystem describe a project as the website is a little confusing, because then when you hear Django developers refer to applications, you can very quickly get the wrong idea about what that means. Let's make a comparison to the Python ecosystem. In Python, you have a Python package. A Python package is actually a software thing. It's a directory that has a dunder init file in it that marks to the Python interpreter in the Python language that this directory will contain modules of Python code. And we refer to that as a package. Simultaneously, we also will refer to the things that you download from the Python package index, the PyPI, as a package as well. So package has a double meaning in Python. On one hand, it can refer to a bundle of code that you'll get from the internet to install into your system and use as something that you'll import. And on the other hand, it is something that you will directly import into your code to get the classes and method functions that are part of your system. So that distinction gets a little muddy. In fact, the package that we know as the downloadable thing from PyPI actually has a technical name that's referred to as a distribution. In the standard library, there is a module that's called distutils. And that part of it, the dist in that part, stands for distribution. And so Python deals with the same weird dichotomy of having package have two meanings, where one is this broader thing that is more widely understood by the industry. Like if you go out and look at other software communities like Node or JavaScript and that stuff, NPM is the Node Package Manager, and apt in the Debian ecosystem is the Package Manager. So package is a very common name for referring to a bundle of code that is all wrapped up and downloadable in many circumstances. So we have to deal with that common name in the wider software ecosystem, and then also deal with the fact that internally to the Python ecosystem, package has a separate name. Django is very similar in that way. In the web developer ecosystem, we refer to a website as an application. And application means broadly something that you can view through your browser and check out on the internet. But here we are in the Django community, and application has this secondary meaning. It has this meaning of a component that is plugged into your Django project, which happens to be a web application. So we have to deal with the same dual meaning of application as the Python ecosystem has to deal with the same dual meaning of package. But that's just the reality of the naming, and we're going to live with that and work with that as best we can. So now that we have an idea that an application in the Django sense is a component that lives within your web application, your Django project, we can start to talk about what a Django application is in detail. And we're going to do that by looking at the application structure itself, looking at the files that are there in a standard application, talking through them, talking through their purpose, and then giving you an idea of things that you might encounter in the wild. When you run the built-in start app command that comes with Django from manage.py and create a new Django app, it will scaffold for you the skeleton of a Django application. And we're going to talk through that first, and then I will flesh that out with more stuff that you will commonly encounter. So in the standard Django app skeleton, I see about 6 different files or so, roughly, that we can talk through. The first is an admin.py file. And as we just encountered in the last episode, episode 8, where we talked about the Django admin, that is where you store the admin configuration to expose your models to the Django admin site. So when you want to view your data through the Django admin interface, you work with the admin file and declare your model admin classes in there. And that is the purpose of that particular file. You can go back to the last episode if you're joining in just starting from now and learn all about the admin and what that's for. The second file that you'll find in a scaffold that is important to call out is an apps.py file. And this file has an app config in it. And we're going to discuss the app config a little bit later in this particular episode. It is pertinent to what an application is and how it works. And we'll get more into that in a little bit. After that, we see a migrations directory. And the migrations directory will start off empty. But the migrations directory is where your migration files will be stored. So anytime you're changing your models, there will be a numbered file that will get created by the migration system and will be stored here for future application to your database. If you want to learn more about migrations, you can. I have past episodes talking about models and stuff. And I believe episode 6 would be a good episode to check on that one. Possibly 7 as well. There's also a models file, and the models are predictably where you're going to store your Django model classes. We talked about Django models in detail in episode 6 and episode 7, and so you can go learn more about them there. Following that, we'll find a tests.py file. We haven't really talked about unit testing or any kind of testing, frankly, in this series yet, and we will at some stage, but I'm going to call out this file as one that I always nuke from orbit. I do not value this particular file in any way because I think it's too broad. It's perhaps something workable if you have a small application that you'll want to store your test code in, but from my point of view, I always delete this file before committing a new application to my repository, and I replace it with a tests package. And the reason I do that is I want my test code to go in files that map to a lot of the names that I'll find in a standard application. For example, if I'm working on a Django model and want to write some automated tests for it, I will create a test models file within a test directory rather than trying to put model tests into a test.py file. So I appreciate that this file exists in the scaffold to kind of hint to developers that, hey, you should probably write some tests to make sure that your code is correct. But ultimately, it never really serves a purpose for me personally. I delete it and create a test package because I want more specific names that help me find my test code for the proper part of my application. Models for test models, views, test views, etc. Speaking of views, there is a views.py file as well included here, and that is where you're going to define view functions or view classes depending on your preference. And the views, as we've discussed in episode 3, are where things get glued together, and how your URLs that we talked about in episode 2 connect to your models that we talked about in episode 6 and 7. So views are that central hub that pull all these things together. And you can find more, as I said, in episode 3 of this series. So that's everything that comes from the generated scaffold, but that is not even close to all the files that you might encounter in a full-blown Django application in the wild. So let's talk through the extra files that don't come from the scaffold that you will commonly encounter. The first file that I think you're most likely to create in a Django app that is not from the scaffold is a urls.py file. So if you have your project's urls.py file and you are hooking applications into it, you'll often use the include function to do that. And we talked about that in episode 2, so you should have some idea of how that's done. But you need a urls.py module within your app in order to point your project's urls file to the urls file within your application. And so you will very commonly see a urls.py file for each application if they have views that they want to hook into the larger project. Of course, it is possible to do without this file if your project URLs file is including the views directly, but that is a less common pattern. The next file you might see is a forms.py file. And forms is the conventional place to put, you guessed it, Django form classes. We talked about forms in episode 5, and you can go learn much more about them there, but this is where forms will usually go. Aside from forms, you might also have extra template things that you need to include. As you render your views using Django's template language system, there are a couple directories that you should include or may have that you want, and one of those directories is called template tags. So if you have any custom tags that you want to include and render in your views, then you use a template tags directory and you make that as a package. And within that package, you declare a new module. And that is something that you can then load into your template to use those custom tags. We talked a lot about template tags and things like that in episode 4. Similarly, you will need a home for your templates. And I mentioned in the templates episode that I like to use a project-wide templates directory, but applications themselves may also have a templates directory of their own if you want to store your templates within an application. And this is largely a personal preference. So if you want to do that, that's one place where you can store templates that your views will render. So that's another common directory you will see. Another common directory to see is static files. If you have static files, and I'm talking about images and JavaScript and things like that, then you might have a static directory for your application. And we haven't talked too much about static files, that is a future topic, but know that your files that you want to serve up to a web page, like an image file, like a CSS file, can be stored in a static directory. This kind of functions similarly to the templates example. You can include a separate directory for just storing your static files in one place. But if you're trying to make a Django application that you want others to be able to install, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit, then it behooves you to put static files in that application. Otherwise, those users would never be able to access the static content that they would need. Another directory you may encounter is a management directory. And the management directory is used to create custom commands. So we've talked about start project, we've talked about start app, we've talked about migrate. All of these things that come from manage.py are management commands. And it's possible, because Django has a great hook system for this, to create commands of your own. So if your application has some extra code that you need to call and you want to invoke from a command line utility, you can create them. And we'll talk more about those in the future, but that is another directory that you will commonly encounter in a Django app. Aside from that, there is a locale directory if you're doing translations. So not every application does translations, not every project has a requirement for it, but if you're trying to internationalize your application and make it available in multiple locations, then you're going to store locale files. And locale files are files that are the mapping between whatever source language you're choosing to use, which is often English, but doesn't have to be, and mapping it to other languages that exist out there. Spanish, German, you know, the whole world. We're a rich cornucopia of languages out there. And Django projects can support all of that as well. So Locale is maybe less commonly seen, especially in open source projects that don't necessarily do translation, but it is still a directory that you may encounter as you are working with Django applications. And finally, this one is probably less used than others, but sometimes when you make custom managers for your Django models, you might start by putting managers within the models file itself, but you may decide that that is cluttering up your models file. Maybe you have too many models in there and you want some separation between code, and you can take your custom manager classes and put them in their own file. So a managers.py file might be another module that you'll encounter in a Django application. But I want to highlight that most applications will not have all of these parts. What I tried to do was give you a very comprehensive list of all of the things you might encounter, and just give you a little bit of idea of these are the things that we can run into in a real Django app, and if I see that file, I'll at least have a hint of what they're for. And it's important to note that there's nothing saying that this is the limit of files that can be in a Django application. I think one of the things that we fall prey to as developers, especially as framework developers, is thinking that the files that are available to us are the only ones that are allowed. And I want to encourage you, when you're designing your applications, to make sure you think about the fact that Django is a tool that is built into Python, and there is no reason that you can't make other modules. So you might have all sorts of other modules. Maybe you're working with Django filters and you want to add filters. Maybe you're working with Django REST framework and you have serializers and all sorts of other types of classes that you're going to require for your system. Don't feel boxed in by the framework. The framework is here to guide you and give you some common guideposts to work from and conventional files that help us go from one project to another. But you know, let your application adapt to the context that it needs to be in. If you need a module that has no other naming convention in the ecosystem because you're doing something kind of interesting and novel, then by all means, make a package, make another module, whatever it happens to be, to store your code in the most appropriately named thing. Names are a very powerful feature, and we should not shy away from them just because we think that all code has to fit in one of the names that I've given you above. So we've talked about the composition of a Django application at this point, but we need to talk about how Django loads application. When Django is working with applications, it does not do automatic discovery of apps. And this is a feature, not a bug. You have to include the applications that you want to use in your installed apps. And the reason you have to include them is you don't want hidden code to magically appear within your app. It's possible that you install some packages that bring Django applications in with them for whatever reason. Some of these broader packages might have like support libraries or whatever things that might be useful and designed for Django projects, but you may not necessarily want them. So by having it be an opt-in system, it gives you full control over the applications that are actually within your project, whether they are within your virtual environment or not. You have that control of deciding what goes into your project. I think this shows how Django follows this pattern in the Python ecosystem of favoring explicit over implicit. And by having that explicit declaration of what apps are there, you avoid any danger, any weird side effects that you might not expect if Django is to try and detect all of the applications that were actually available. So when Django starts, how does it load things up? Where does it begin? What's it going to do to actually get your website up and running? And it has a specific sequence, and you can go read in detail all about that sequence, but I'm going to roughly outline the steps here, and you'll see how applications fit into that. So Django's going to begin by loading your settings module. If you don't have your settings module defined, it will complain, because the settings module is really critical for Django serving its functions properly. So it will start by loading settings. And after loading the settings, it will configure the logging system. And logging is a topic that we will cover more in the future. It's a way to record actions and events as they happen in your code and give you diagnostic output. And it's not new and novel to Django. It's something that exists within Python. It's something very common in many other web frameworks. But the scope of that topic is bigger than what we're going to discuss here today. But you'll just know that it does logging configuration after getting the settings going. Once logging is configured, it will initialize an application registry. The application registry, as you might imagine, is what all applications register to and keeps track of all of the applications that you define and is the starting point for where Django looks for code to run and execute. Once it has created the application registry, it will attempt to import each package from the list of installed apps. And at this stage, if the import of that doesn't work, your site won't load up and it'll report some problems. But that's a kind of stage one. And then after importing each package of the installed apps, it will attempt to import each of the models for each application, because the models represent a lot of linkages between the ORM, and there's a lot of information that comes from having models, and those things need to be wired together. And so model loading is a critically important element. And then finally, after all of the models have been loaded, Django will invoke a ready method for every app config that is available. Earlier, we talked about the apps.py file, and I said that inside of that file, there is something called an app config. And the app config, we'll talk about it now. The app config is a class that can provide metadata information about the Django application that is running. And so there's a bunch of attributes that can go with an app config and can modify various things about it. But one of the things that is available to the app config is this ready hook method. And the ready hook method is there for doing some kind of operation when the application is loaded. And you may have code that you need to delay the execution of, but you want every time an application is started. Perhaps you're trying to register a signal, a topic we have not covered yet, but that's something that you can do. Perhaps you're just trying to initialize some data. Whatever it is, ready is the opportunity for an application to safely run code at a stage where models have already been loaded, the ORM is safe to use, and so on. If you try and execute your code, let's say you have code that you just leave inline in a package, like in your models file, you try and run some code right away. What you might encounter in that circumstance is certain error cases, because Django itself has some bookkeeping that it has to do before it is ready to go. So if, for instance, you try to inline in your models file, do some queries on your ORM from some other application models, and try to process some logic there, you might get an exception that says something like app registry not ready. And this is a very common exception that people can run into. And it's one that is indicative of the fact that, as the name implies, the application registry has not loaded all of the applications, and Django is not ready to go yet. By adding that kind of code into the ready hook in the app config, you get the peace of mind that when that ready hook is executed, the system is staged and set to go, and your code is ready to make whatever calls it needs to. So that's the loading process of applications and Django in general. And next, I want to move on to discussion a bit, get a little bit more philosophical, and talk a bit about the value of applications in the Django ecosystem. So we have discussed that Django applications function as these core components. Your project is composed of many of these things. And we've already seen examples of how this composition structure is beneficial to make it very pluggable for functionality that you might need. The clear and most obvious example is our discussion from the last episode about the Django admin. By adding the Django admin to your site, which frankly, as we said, was already included because of the start project command, but if you didn't have it, if you add the Django admin to your installed apps along with some other bits of configuration, and you suddenly get this very robust administrator site for very little effort on your part. And so that is the model that Django uses to add new functionality to your projects. So Django is, you know, by itself, Django is a very batteries included approach. It has a lot of tools so that you don't even need to go externally. A lot of the things that you need are built right into the framework, and we've talked about the big core components in these past episodes, but there are all of these other extra things that are there. But, you know, even by being a batteries included approach, you can't include everything. And so Django can farm out these extra pieces of functionality to other Django applications. So where can you find these extra Django applications? The first place to go is look no further than Django itself. I just said that Django doesn't include everything, but there are things that Django optionally does include, but doesn't activate by default. So if you look in the Django contrib package, you'll find a number of built-in Django applications that serve a variety of purposes. And we've talked about the admin, we're going to talk about auth next time, and there are a few others that you can go explore the Django documentation and see extra functionality that you can get without even going out to PyPI. But you can go out to PyPI if you want. PyPI is full of packages that are meant for Django. I probably would not suggest starting with PyPI though. There's a great website, it's called djangopackages.org, and it is a fantastic tool because it will introduce you to a lot of the Django applications that are available to install into your project to do a wide variety of functions. And they break it down by categories, and there are a lot of tools and side-by-side matrix of comparison of features, and it's a really excellent resource that's available to you. So I definitely recommend checking that out. But getting back to a bit of the philosophical discussion, I'm going to talk about the way the framework is structured versus other tools that are available in the Python ecosystem. And I think it gets down to the mode of thinking that you apply. Some people prefer to start with a very minimal kernel of functionality, the smallest amount of code that they can possibly work with to get their project up and running. And they build it up to suit their needs based on that. And, you know, a good example of that, I think, is the Flask project. And I love Flask. I think it's a great tool for lots of things. But you have to come into Flask with a different mentality, is that Flask, out of the box, is very minimalistic in what it will offer you. And if you want to build up more on a project like that, you very quickly have to go out to PyPI and add in the extra elements that you require. And that suits a lot of people well, but I don't think that that's Django's philosophy. I think Django takes a different tact, and they say, we're going to start out with a very opinionated baseline that has a lot of stuff in it, and you can pare down from there. So you can either start with the minimal thing and build up, or you can start from an opinionated baseline that has a lot of choices made for you. And if you don't like some of those choices, you can remove them. And I think that's the two different strategies that I see. I'm obviously biased if you're coming and listening to a podcast about Django, but I personally believe that Django's philosophy is the correct one, which shouldn't be a surprise to any of you. And the reason I think that Django philosophy is more correct in most circumstances is because you get to benefit from all of the knowledge of people who have come before you. If you're listening to this podcast, you may be a very new developer when it comes to Django. You may not know all of the parts that are there yet. If you're building up from something minimal, that can be fine. You can grow your knowledge along with your tool. But what happens when you get blindsided about the aspects of project development that you didn't consider? Are you a security expert? I'm not a security expert. I know even security experts will readily admit that we don't necessarily know everything about the way software is configured. And I'm using security as an example because it's a very sticky and kind of dangerous one. But what happens if you're growing your knowledge and you're building up from a minimal thing and you realize that you left something out or you had a big gap in your knowledge about something that is really required to make your site safe? Are you going to be able to adapt your minimally grown project to account for that security kind of change? Maybe, but it might be a super painful process to do that because perhaps your design just isn't well suited to adapt to that kind of change. So when you work from a solid opinionated baseline from people that have been doing web development for some of them doing it for decades, then you start to get to the benefit of they have knowledge that you don't have, just like you have knowledge that somebody else may not have. And we get to benefit from all of that knowledge being mixed together and slowly growing something into a more cohesive whole. And I think there's a huge benefit from doing that because you get the protection and the deep experience from a large community of people, and you didn't even have to ask for it. It just kind of comes along for the ride because this opinionated baseline is right there when you run manage.py and do the start project command. What does this philosophy have to do with Django apps? Why am I even bringing this up now? I'm bringing it up because Django apps are fairly reusable. They're fairly consistent in the patterns of files that you'll see in there. And they have a fairly standard structure. And the benefit of that is that when you add a Django application to your project, if you need to go in there and look at it, then you'll have the benefit of having the knowledge of what that structure is, and you can navigate that application more quickly. And so you get the benefit of these battle-tested applications that come from other web developers who've gone through a bunch of pain and made something that's effective for them. So you get an application that is robust and kind of plugs into your own project. And if you need to look inside of it, you can often find the structure that you're familiar with anyway as you grow your knowledge in Django and get more comfortable dealing with Django applications on a regular basis. The other reason that I think applications are valuable in their standard structure is that it makes for quick experimentation. As I mentioned earlier, there's djangopackages.org, and you can go out there and find a package that you want to try. And often when you get to the Django documentation or the documentation for a Django application, you'll find that it's pretty quick to get going. In many cases, I find that you have to add the application to the installed apps list. And sometimes you will have to include a URLs module in your project URLs file. And you might need to configure a little bit extra, like if it's something that's talking to a third-party service, you might need to configure some keys or API information or something like that, some bit of configuration data, and that tends to be it. It's not always the case. There are some applications that are much more complex that require a lot of work to do extra, but I think that this minimal amount of configuration allows you to experiment pretty quickly. So you can try something out and do it in a feature branch from your version control system and experiment with it, and if you like it, you can integrate it and move on. And if you don't, you can throw away the branch and you didn't spend a ton of time working on it. That's been my personal experience with that. All in all, I think that Django applications make working with Django a more enjoyable experience. The fact that we have a project and application paradigm here where it's something that is the main project and we have clear components in the system encourages better design in your website. You're not throwing everything into a giant bucket necessarily. Maybe you are at first as you're learning how to work with applications, but as you grow in your maturity, you'll find ways to carve out functionality and keep your project a little bit cleaner by having the separation of applications. And you get all of these benefits from the third-party applications that exist in the ecosystem. We talked about Django applications on this episode. We talked about the files that are inside of a Django application and what each of them is used for, and hopefully referred you back to past episodes if you're just joining us on this episode. And after discussing the composition of the application, we talked about how an application loads and how Django starts up itself, the major steps that it goes through to load all the applications, and how you can take advantage of that to run hooks like the ready method if you have special code that you need to run when your application starts. And finally, we talked about applications and why they are so critically important to the Django ecosystem and how the Django philosophy can help make it easier to work with these packages and get you the benefits of a fully running, safe project as fast as possible. In the next episode, we will dive into the authentication system. So Django includes a built-in auth system, which is made from Django applications, surprise, surprise, and includes all the parts that you'll need to manage users and permissions and do some other things in your web app. Full show notes for this episode are available at www.mattlehman.com/DjangoRiffs/9. Thanks for listening to this episode of Django Riffs. You can follow the show at DjangoRiffs.com. If you have something to share, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is mblehman, or follow the Django Riffs handle to keep up with the show. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate or review on iTunes, Spotify, or from wherever you listen to podcasts. Your rating will help others discover the podcast, and I would be very grateful. Django Riffs is supported by listeners like you. If you can contribute financially to cover hosting and production costs, please check out my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/mblehman. The theme music for Django Riffs is Open Roads, used with permission from Purple Planet Music. I hope you'll join us next time to learn more about Django. Take care.